please identify yourself for the record?
Phoebe Houston, who is that in camp?
And I'm Brett Rhino from Media Co-op. And first question is, would a deal between the Morristown Band Council and PTP have any jurisdiction over traditional Unist'ot'en territory?
No, band councils and tribal councils do not have jurisdiction on Unist'ot'en territory. We're a hereditary system which has five clans, and each of those five clans are broken into house groups, and the only one that doesn't have house group but just has a description of the territory is my clan, which is known to the Delgamuukw as Gessehiu, but people better know my family as Unist'ot'en, which we're probably the one of the largest families and the largest group in the Gessehiu clan, and we have jurisdiction, have proved it in the Delgamuukw, and we've never given over that jurisdiction to the province, the federal government, or the band councils or tribal councils.
And what would you like to say to any band council members who may be considering such a deal with PTP?
That I've already said it right to their face, that band council is a system that was imposed by the federal government just so they can try to take over management of our lands and resources. So it's not even a system where they even have any kind of decision-making power. It's just implementing policies and programs that are developed from Indian Affairs and white society, taking care of us, and basically they're just implementing whatever they decide. And one and foremost, they're Wet'suwet'en, and one and foremost, they belong to a clan. They are that before they are a band counselor or a chief counselor, and each and every one of them belong to a clan, whether it be Tsayu, Lhksilyu, Gidimdan, Lhksamisyu, or Gessehiu. And they're that foremost. And according to Wet'suwet'en law, you can't make decision on another clan's territory. The only people that can make a decision on Unist'ot'en territory is Unist'ot'en people. Nobody from any other clan can decide for us what happens to our lands.
Okay. And what actions have you taken since you found out about the proposed deal?
We've made it public, the deal that was trying to be proposed, and I phoned the office of Wet'suwet'en questioning them about that agreement. And I've actually phoned people that were in attendance of that meeting because they were falsely trying to say that Native Beast was in agreement with that agreement because they were talking about our territory and he's our head chief. And when I spoke to him, he didn't say he agreed to anything in those meetings. And I spoke to another one of the chiefs that were invited to the meeting because the main head chief said no to all pipelines. He wasn't invited to these meetings. They invited another wing chief into the meetings. And he said that he was attending to meetings to ask legitimate questions. He wasn't agreeing or saying no or agreeing with either party's side. So there, some shady stuff looks like it's happening because I'm getting conflicting messages from the various people that were in attendance to these meetings. Were giving me conflicting messages, so it didn't look like they knew what was going on. They were being fleeced in by the head chief, or not the head chief, the band chief, who doesn't have jurisdiction off reserve.
Okay.
He was, because I don't think that according to that document, the agreement, it's called a, it was agreement between Apache and Chevron with the Morristown Band, but in that there was a clause in there saying they had to have the Wet'suwet'en hereditary chiefs on side before they could agree with that deal, and they didn't have, we have 13 hereditary chiefs and they had just like a handful of them, and according to our system that's illegal because you have to have all 13 chiefs involved in any major decision, and even so all those 13 chiefs don't make no general decision over all the territories. Each chief is responsible for their own, like Gidimdan's chiefs, if they have their own hereditary chiefs, They're the only ones, along with their membership, that can decide on Gidimdan territory. And my chief, five chiefs, not just one, all five chiefs, along with all the Unisatan membership, only can decide on this territory. Not one person can make a decision on their own. That's not our system. Mm-hmm. That's the democratic way of the so-called Canada and British Columbia, how they make decisions. That's not our deciding systems. Ours is by consensus. If you have one person that disagrees with anything you're trying to pursue, you're not supposed to pursue it. And band offices, they can't do a referendum and try to decide if pipelines can go through traditional territories. That's not their jurisdiction. The only time they can do a referendum is in the boundaries of the reservation. So the example I like to use is Vancouver, because all of the communities are right connected with each other and they're divided by boundaries for their municipalities. For example, Burnaby, Langley, downtown Vancouver, North Vancouver, they all have separate mayors. And North Vancouver mayor cannot decide anything in Burnaby, and Burnaby can't decide anything for downtown Vancouver. Each of them, they have their councils, the councillors that work with them, with the mayor, and they'd only decide within those boundaries. That's the same thing set up for reservations. You have a chief and councillors based on the population of that community, and there is a boundary around the reservation, and that's the only place they can make decisions. They cannot make decisions on hereditary territories.
Were you surprised to learn that PTP has intentions to carry tar sands oil? And what do you think the reaction will be in the community once this becomes known?
Wasn't totally surprised. We were suspicious of them right at the get-go. I got suspicious right away when they started out with their, when they initially submitted for permitting and passing the environmental assessment and everything. Their submission was, I believe, a 36-inch pipe. I think it might have went 32-inch to 36-inch, but when they got their approval, it was a smaller pipe. And for some strange reason, when they do amendments, they don't have to go through the whole approval process again. They expanded it to 40-inch, and now I understand it's 42-inch. And 42-inch is a standard size for oil bitumen pipe. So why would they make a standard for oil bitumen pipe if they're only going to, supposedly supposed to be just transporting frack gas? So to me, I knew right from the get-go when they expanded to the oil pipe diameter that they had every intention of transporting bitumen through those pipes. And when I saw that in the agreement, in the agreement they're trying to make with my band, it says that they would not sell it to any oil bitumen company for 5 years. So why would they just put 5 years? According to my people, they said never. I know they said never. They're dead set against Enbridge, but they were really iffy on the gas because they're telling them it's natural gas. It's safe. That's the message, and they're believing it. And new technology is never going to break. Mm-hmm. That's the message people are being told, why a lot of these bands are buying into it, that it's safe when in fact it isn't.
And so we have recent reports that PTP has done substantial right-of-way work around Kitimat and Terrace. What response can the company expect if they attempt to cross into Unistoten territory?
They won't be crossing our territory. We've already said no. No means no. There's no negotiating. We're not holding out for them to give us some money. We don't want their blood money because we're protecting our waters, our wildlife, our land for just generations ahead, for my future grandchildren, great-grandchildren, all my nieces and their children and their grandchildren. It's for the future generation. We've only got very little left. Everything's been taken up by agriculture, by the municipalities, and pretty much settlers have taken over all our lands already, and now it's settlers who are trying to come in and take what's left. So we're saying no, we're not taking anymore because we've lost so much already, and we're thinking of our children. Because if we don't protect that for them, they are the ones that are going to suffer. Sure, we're living fine now, but there will be no more water, clean water for them to drink, and all the fish will be gone, and every other animal, that they're all connected and rely on each other. Fish need the water, and the bears eat the fish, and everything is connected that rely on each other. And if we don't sustain all of the earth, including the animals, if the animals die, then we're going to be the next ones to die, because we follow suit with the animals, because everything that we do on this earth today, man has learned that from animals. So why would they disrespect the animals and ruin their homelands by putting stupid pipes through this land? They've already taken everything for agriculture, and grizzlies get removed from their habitat because farmers expand, and then all of a sudden it's not the farmer's fault that he's kicking the grizzly out of his home. They blame the grizzly, and the grizzly either gets shot or else gets moved to another grizzly's territory, and of course that grizzly's going to encounter conflict because they're territorial. Mm-hmm. So everything we learn from the animals. The safe food we can eat, because the animals know what's not safe. All of that was learned from animals. So, and yeah, the whole world is messed up right now because everything's all about economics, all the bottom line of how much money they can make, and yet one day that money's going to mean nothing. Mm-hmm. That whole economy is going to collapse because it can't sustain itself. There's way too many people in this planet, and pretty soon they won't be able to feed all the people. We'll run into the same problem in China. China can't sustain itself because they have way too many people, and they limit people to have one child. Well, we're running into that problem because we have a lot of people keep coming and coming into our lands, and there's way too many people, and we can't keep up with it. And because we've destroyed the climate so much, even agriculture is going to have a hard time surviving with climate change.
Mm-hmm. And what was your response when you learned? What do you think the significance of is when Apache is now divesting from the LNG project?
I'm happy that it's come to that, because that was our main goal, is to ensure that the investors don't continue on investing in a failing project, because it just really blows me away that when you look at I work in economic development, and you look at the economy of BC, oil and gas is second from the bottom, and forestry is at the very bottom. And why are our people still trying to invest in a losing economy instead of investing into stuff that's going to improve the economy and create jobs? Right now, tourism is one of the highest employers of BC residents, and why would they destroy the beauty out here when they could look into tourism initiatives that are like ecotourism, so that you can ensure you're not going to impact the waters, you're not going to impact the lands. There's a lot of other opportunities. There's alternative energies, and technology seems to be way up there. And why are we being so stupid investing in something as it's at the tail end? You're not going to make no money out of it. It's just going to be boom and bust. Mm-hmm. So it blows me away that people in leadership, it appears to me, are uneducated and are making these uneducated decisions, while the educated people that are aware of what's going around them, and appears that people aren't listening. They're not waking up. And all I can say to these people, you're going to be woken up when the economy collapses and a dollar doesn't mean a thing. And you'll have to fend for yourself, and you're not going to survive. If you don't know how to live off the land, get your own food, grow your own food, you're going to be the first people to go. And the ones that have always lived modestly and grew their own food and knew how to take care of themselves, didn't rely on anybody else and sustaining their own families, they're the only people that are going to survive. First people are going to go is the people in city centers. You get your food in a grocery store, eventually those grocery store shelves are going to go empty. Because we're doing nothing to stop global warming, we're doing nothing to prevent the industry to continue to pollute, and for some odd reason, Canada and the BC government is not doing nothing to minimize the pollution from these industries. Instead, they're supporting these industries and thinking that's their savior, when it's killing the whole planet, and it's going to kill all mankind eventually.
Do you have any messages that you like to get out specifically to Media Co-op audience about how they can support the camp or to, you know, to fight against the system in their own homes?
Get educated and give facts, 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 and get the facts from the people that are already in. Got no more water because of the fracking fields, and people are sick and dying, and how the crooked industry has silenced them from speaking to media because they said they're not going to help them out, and they have no choice. They invest every damn dollar they have into agriculture and their farmland they bought, but then it ran out of water. They couldn't do nothing, or else if their water's poisoned, they tell them they can put in a fancy, expensive filtering systems, which are thousands and thousands of dollars, if they sign this agreement that they're not going to go to media or anybody. If they don't sign that agreement, that silencing agreement, then they're not going to help them. And a lot of them end up just signing it, because what else are they going to do? So educate people. People have to wake up before it's too late.
Okay, well, thanks so much, Frida. And we appreciate taking time to talk to Media Co-op.
Thank you.